All kidding aside, there are serious issues afoot today. Did you get that?
Yeah, I got it. And I have chosen not to comment. We'll get into this a little bit more. And I think, because this really bothers me for reasons I shall make public.
I'm sure you will. And I'm sure you will. Let me start out with the fact.
Yes.
That now, from our new location in eastern Pennsylvania, I'm Lou. And up there in the same old place in New Hampshire is Anne-Marie. And this is Political QRM.
You know, you said the same old place in New Hampshire. It's not that bad being here in New Hampshire.
You caught that.
Yes, of course. I'm very.
Assad joke.
I can pick up sarcasm very easily. I choose as to whether or not I will comment. But yeah, I can't let this go. No. Same old. I love New Hampshire. Are you kidding me?
Of course you do.
I love it. We actually have a decent governor now. I have Governor Sununu.
Not for nothing, but I mean, I adored Maine. You know that.
Yes, you
know
you did.
I like New Hampshire first rate, but I adored Maine. The time had come. You know, that's all there was to it.
Wait a minute. We're going to have to just back up a bit. If you would just kind of touch on, you know, why we weren't on the air for over a month.
Largely because of the fact that, and it took me a couple of weeks, I moved. I was essentially gifted a home because of the ages of our folks and my health and health care, among other things. As much as I adored Maine and as much as I missed the friends we had up there, it was the thing, you know. As a matter of fact, I just got off the phone 2 minutes before I spoke to you. I just got off the phone with Uncle Carmine, who called late, as always, you know, for my birthday.
At least he remembers.
I don't think he did. I think it was on a calendar.
Oh.
But not for nothing, because you know something? If the guy ain't 100, he's 99 and a half. You know,
Wait a minute. This man is 99 and a half, and you're criticizing him because he forgot your birthday? Oh, my God.
No. Entitled SOB that I am.
I mean, come on.
No, I was not. If I didn't ride him, he'd ask, who the hell are you and what you do with my nephew?
Okay, good point. Good point.
You know, I ride them all. But in the meantime, you know, they are getting up there.
They're still around. God bless them.
God bless them. They're still around and have no intentions of leaving anytime soon.
That's good. That means they're enjoying life.
Yes. And therein lies the reason that we were not on, you know, for quite some time. It was an arduous task, to say the least, and quite the surprise. So, that as it may, we did miss an awful, awful lot.
Oh, God, yeah.
We did. We missed a lot. There's no two ways about it. We did. But by the same token, when I look at whether we did or we didn't hit all those other subjects all across that time frame, the events of the last 72 hours have just been, let's just say, worthy of their own podcast, whether we had the other podcast or not.
Oh, no, that's true. That's true. I mean, I was quite shocked at that, too. And we're talking about the strike on Syrian air bases, well, one air base, because of the supposed, all right, I can't say supposed, chemical attack, supposedly by Assad on his own people. Now, I do have problems with that. I do have a lot of problems. I mean, a lot of people, what I'm hearing from some people out there, they're bringing up the fact that Trump said we're not going to get into other countries' problems. And they're criticizing him for that because he did strike.
Well, he said he was going to be the president, not the president of the world, but the president of the United States.
Right, exactly. So he's receiving criticism on that. Now, this is the problem that I have. I take a look at this, and granted, Syrian people are split. There are people that back Assad. There are people that back ISIS. And those people also...
And there are people caught in the middle, too. Oh, yes, there are people caught in the middle.
Yes, people are caught in the middle. Yeah. But the thing is that when they say Assad hit his own people, were they Syrians, though, who backed Assad, or were they Syrians who backed ISIS? Now, ISIS, and they're known for putting women and children at the battle lines, battlefront, you know, and then using mm-hmm. their deaths as fantastic propaganda.
Oh, yeah.
So... I'm still a little confused here. I really am. And I'm just a little bit nervous because of Russia's response right now. They've sent their, one of their warships.
Let me tell you, I don't want to second guess one of the aspects.
What?
We talked about this the other day when we were off air. We talked mm-hmm. about this the other day. They've been under embargo for the chemicals necessary to produce sarin gas for a long, long time, the Assad regime.
Okay.
However, in the absence of those pharmaceutical chemical weapon-grade chemicals, sarin gas can be produced with stuff I've got under the sink. And I'm not saying I've got anything weird under the sink. I mean, some cleaners and stuff.
I know.
Chlorine gas can be generated, you know, with an M80 and a bottle of Clorox. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not news. You know, mustard gas is made of mustard.
Right.
You know, chemical weapons are not... You know, are not only not new, but not difficult to fabricate, synthesize, weaponize, whatever way you want to put it. Now, I don't want to second guess the, I guess what we used to call the Admiralty back in the day. Uh-huh. You know, our chiefs of staff, our joint chiefs of staff, our you know, people
National
who are
Security
now in
Councils,
other
yeah.
positions in our government, National Security Council, NSA, DIA, CIA, PBS,
no, they're just support.
You know, you name
they're
it.
Just support. NSA, CIA, DIA, they're support. They supply the information. They don't
yes,
make the
they
absolute,
you know,
they don't make the decision
no,
on that.
No, but that's where the intel comes from. And you know for a fact we're not privy to that.
No.
If they saw those aircraft taking off by satellite, and the next thing you know, those aircraft are over that village, and the next thing you know, those aircraft are landing again, we don't have that intel.
Okay.
But they do.
Granted. But who was at that village? Who was in that village? Was it ISIS and its supporters? And should they not be allowed to try and preserve their way
no.
of life?
Anti-Assad rebels.
There you go.
Sunni rebels.
Okay. So
not
basically
ISIS.
Now it's Sunni against Shiite.
So no, it's been Sunni against Shiite.
I know, but what we're saying here now is
years.
So we're taking a side. That's what bothers me. I don't want to take a side in this. I really don't.
Oh, I don't want to take a side.
No, no,
I don't
no,
want
no.
to take a side.
America has now taken no. a side. I don't want to.
Yes, it has. But
yes.
Here's two things I'm going to come up with. Rand Paul and is one thing, but Tim Kaine sits on the. Military, you know, Armed Services Committee, and he said that it was unlawful for the president to do what he did. And Rand Paul backed him up on that, and some other, you know, hole in the wall, somebody said the same thing. And of course, Bernie is Bernie, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Listen, after the War Powers Act of 1973, what the president did was not declare war. He issued a surgical strike well within the confines of the War Powers Act, well within his remit as commander-in-chief, essentially to address a flammable situation involving innocence. And that is where we will, that, you know, for all the, these people were walking around with their cheeks stitched shut because of what happened with the Gorsuch thing. They were looking for anything to complain about. You know, it's like, you know, the old thing, I don't know, your father, mother, whatever, my father, mother, you know, you want to cry, I'll give you something to cry about.
That's right. Yes, I remember that.
So I think this is what's going on. He gave him something to cry about. In the meantime,
yeah,
Bashar al-Assad has already done it. He's already been proven to have done it. The Obama administration made a quote-unquote agreement with him after the disappearing ink red line in the sand, so to speak.
You mean the invisible one?
You know, or the magically moving one that,
yeah,
just kept
exactly
moving from one dune to the next,
mm-hmm,
you know, whichever way you want to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the entire rest of the world is like, oh, thank God the grown-ups have come home while the party's still going on in the basement.
I don't know. Do you understand why I'm really hesitant at being a cheerleader for Trump on this? I mean, can you... Am I making myself clear? Because at this
point, no, I get it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because
no,
I
get it.
This, oh, hang on, though. But I have to say, there is one thing by doing this, and this is completely separate, but this has something to do with it, okay? Let me explain. By doing this, he kind of takes the wind out of the sails of the Democrats who keep insisting that the Russians colluded with Trump to win the election. Because right
now
the Russians are
around.
The Russians
are pissed. They turned that around. They said, well, he did give them an hour's notice, so that proves their bromance.
Excuse me, but that's always done. That is always done. Because they have troops there. Because if they didn't have, if he didn't give them the hour's notice, forget it. We would be seeing something of ours being bombed right now. But he gave them that. This has happened in the past. So the Democrats don't know what the hell they're talking about. They don't.
This is it. This is it.
You see, the thing is also now, by saying that.
Could you imagine being the ground controller over there saying, Yeah, get in your aircraft. Take off right away. And the Syrians all going, what? What's going on? Oh, we have to scramble. Why you got to scramble? Well, we have a training mission. All hands on deck. Oh, okay.
That's possibly what they did.
And they all think, zoom, all these MiGs and everything else go, zoom. And the Syrians are standing there going, wow, those son of a bitches go fast. You know? And the next thing they know, hear more jet engines coming in. It's like, oh, wow, they're on their way back already. No.
Those are the tomahawks coming in for a landing, baby. But no, that's the thing, Lou, though. But they can't. See, the Democrats, they're going to try. you can't win for losing. I swear to God, you can't with these
people.
But
the Senate was informed.
Yes.
Not all of them.
No. Only those on the Armed Services Committee need to be informed. And that's all. None of the other ones need to be informed.
So when Tim Kaine stamped his feet,
go ahead.
You know, when he was briefed by President Trump,
right?
I'm going to go hit these sons of bitches. And he stamped his feet and said, "You can't do that." You know, name one president since Carter, other than Barack Obama, we leave him out of this, that has not invoked his executive commander-in-chief authority at least once.
Mm-hmm.
Under the War Powers Act.
I know. But you know what? I'll bet you Tim Kaine didn't stamp his feet then. He just waited until the cameras were on him. Then he stamped his feet.
Oh, well, yeah. No, that makes, you know, him and Chucky, they never met a camera they didn't like.
We have to be very careful.
I mean, look at the Black Hawk down. Look at the failed Iranian rescue mission.
Oh, my God,
look at
please.
These things. And they had full consent of not just the Armed Services Committee. They had, you know, Ways and Means Committee. They had, you know, Justice Committee. They had everybody and their brother in there because it was a Democrat.
Yeah. No, I
And you know, so here the president says, you know, I don't want to interfere in anybody else's stuff, but this has got to stop. And we're going to show him that it's got to stop, because if it doesn't stop, we're just going to come over there and kick your ass. And he turned to, and essentially said to Putin, these are your buddies, right?
Yeah.
Stop covering their butt. you know, and start bringing it to sense. Nikki Haley, God love her, has been absolutely the most astounding thing at the United Nations since Bolton and Jean Kirkpatrick.
Yep.
You know, and I think here's another takeaway from this, and I shudder at using the term takeaway in the same sentence as having dinner with Chinese.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
But Gigi over there
Gigi
has got to be sitting there
smiling
going,
at the dinner.
And he's smiling and smiling and smiling, saying, "Oh shit! I guess we better control Korea." Okay. Oh, Kim Jong, stupid. You too, stupid. Shut up. Sit down. Sit down now.
Again.
You know, why are you here for an hour? You know.
You're right. You're right on that point, too. Perhaps Donald Trump, invoked the art of the deal again and took a look at what this action would accomplish and what reactions would be. And maybe he said, yeah, maybe I can kill a few birds with one stone, you know?
Exactly. And maybe exactly. It's not a question of what took place on the ground in Syria as much as a third of the world away.
That's right.
You know, in that part of the, you know, the satellite imagery you see every time, every once in a while from NOAA or, you know, whatever, GeoSat, whatever, and that part of Asia that is completely dark except for, you know, the one town.
Yeah.
You know
Pyongyang.
Is that how that's why I don't
where,
say
North
these
Korea?
Things, I don't.
We're talking about North Korea, right?
Yeah,
Pyongyang.
Yeah, Pyongyang. You know, it sounds like something I'd order.
Pyongyang. Oh.
It does. It's Pyongyang with sticky rice. Yes.
Have you ever? There's so many.
Two egg roll. Two egg roll.
Pyongyang. No. Kim Ching in Pyongyang to go. Yeah, well.
Hey, I like kimchi.
I've never had it. It's cabbage that's been buried for about 20 years, right? Isn't it?
No, it's been buried for 9 or 10 months. It's not buried for 20 years. Like those eggs in the caves down in China, you know, the duck eggs with the embryo in them that they bury for, you know, that were buried with some emperor of whatever dynasty, and they're still digging them up and eating them.
Oh, jeez. So anyway, we have...
I was going to get into an entirely different cultural thing, but that's I'm probably better off not touching
okay.
it.
Okay, all right. Let's go on. Okay, so...
I've already made enough enemies for Christ.
You and me both. You take a look at Russia right now. Russia has moved a warship in the Mediterranean, where our two warships were the ones that took part in the strike. And
one cruiser.
It's a frigate.
I didn't say anything bad about it. I said a cruiser, you know.
Yeah, but it's excuse me. Yeah. But it's sorry. It's armed with cruise missiles. Okay. So they're kind of sending a subtle but not subtle message that, you know, we're still here. We're not going away, and you just ticked us off. Putin has to do something. Okay.
Somebody should take a satellite image of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you look up on Google or something, right, the words saber rattling, that video should play.
Yeah, it is. He has to, don't forget. He has to. But
Before he turns around, he needs to buy time. Putin needs to buy time because he has to have enough time to get a hold of Assad and say, listen. Bashir, knock it off. You have any idea how much it's going to suck for you if I got to go fight these sons of, I remember, anecdotal.
Yeah.
I remember when Marie Curie came to the United States and they asked her, did she want to see, you know, the sites in D.C., the sites in New York, this, anything. Did she want to meet the president? Did she want to meet, you know, the vice president? Mm-hmm. Did she want to meet, you know? Mm-hmm. And she says, no, I want to meet Mrs. Obich. And they said, Mrs. Obich, yes, the one who had so many sons in France during the war.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, this is what's going on. Putin doesn't want to show down with us, but he's got to beat his chest. You know, but he's going to get it. Let me tell you something. He's going to get a hold and say, Bashir, 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 listen, 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 listen.
Back down.
That buddy of yours down there in, what's it called, Unit 420 or something, you know, or 410 or, I don't know, 411, I don't know, whatever unit it is. Mm-hmm. Grab him and just tell him, dude, chill. Mm-hmm. Because, you know something, if I were the United States President Donald Trump, and I am the Soviet Union President, you know, Vladimir Putin. Yeah. He and I are going to come to one very, very significant thing. What's that? The first round of nukes are landing in your yard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Problem solved. Oh, gee. Oh, did we mistarget those? Oh, gee, what a shame.
Sorry.
Hey, Vlad. Yeah? Yeah, Donald? This isn't a good idea, is it? No, it's not. All right, let's go back to the way things were. In the meantime, we've got a glass surface with built-in gas stations for about 3 million square miles.
Okay.
Problem okay. solved. And then the Chinese turn around and go,
oops.
You know, Kim, come here. Come here, can we talk? You know, you see what these two stupid sons of guns are doing? Yeah.
Stop it.
Take those missiles and launch them all into the Pacific and don't make no more.
No, they'll just come and take them. They'll come and take them.
Or come and take them. I don't care. In the meantime, yeah, they'll come and take them.
You really think that the Chinese are going to let perfectly good missiles go to waste? I don't think so. They'll just
take them. Wait, you are reaching here, girl.
Why?
This is This is North Korea. What makes you think they're perfectly good missiles?
Oh, that's true. I am. That's true. Good point. Good point. I never thought of that.
And the Ayatollahs and the Mullahs over there in the caliphate, you know, I don't know who's propping them up. And the word is it's Peking, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to turn to them and say, all those centrifuges, turn them off.
I think right now, you know, I have misgivings on this. I really do. I have misgivings. But I think basically this is just a wait and see. I don't think Trump should do anything else. I don't think he should get out there and bluster. I really don't think he should get out there and pound the desk or anything like this.
Nope.
Just let everything settle down and see if they can start... You know, solving it among themselves. Now, however. Okay, go ahead. Do your however, and then I'll do my however.
I would bring the people from the Freedom Coalition into the Oval Office and say, all right, enough's enough. We got Gorsuch. We hit Syria. Now, from what I understand, new planes have taken off of that same airfield. I guess they put enough quick dry patch or something in the holes.
It wasn't that the airfield itself wasn't destroyed. It was the buildings around them.
And a bunch of jets and some fuel tanks and some ammo.
Some of the fuel tanks, but the majority. So it could be, you know, fixed a little bit quickly. I guess you could call that a warning shot. I don't know.
Across the bow, so to speak.
Yeah.
All right. Well, give me your separate. Yeah. You said you allow me to have that moment, you know, and now it's your turn.
Oh. I think Russia is going to build up defenses in Syria a little bit more. I don't think they're going to back down on this. Even if they just bring him in for 2 months and then take him out. That's
yes.
all they need.
Yes.
Yes,
chess beating 101.
Yes.
You know, you hit my buddy.
Game. I hate chess games on this. Because now we're playing with lives and countries. Yeah,
look,
and
there's a big difference between a chess game and playing to lose.
True.
You know, we were playing to lose for at least eight years.
Yeah, no, seriously. And to some extent, even during George Bush's administration, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I said at least.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what this is going to do, excuse me, I think a lot of the countries now are just stopping and they're just looking and they're waiting for the United States to do something else. And maybe the United States will do nothing. Maybe we'll just sit back off and just sit back and watch everybody else's reactions.
Mm-hmm. And, no, I think you're right. I think as far as that's concerned, he shouldn't be beating the desk. He shouldn't be beating his chest. He shouldn't be. He should just sit back and let it go.
Yep.
Just let it go and see. Let the chips roll where they may. Because look, we had Xi, Ping, Ding, Wing, whatever, and he was there having dinner.
Yep.
With the president,
smiling.
When the strike took place.
Yeah, well, he told him an hour before the strike. So
yeah, and
when
he
were having dinner, the strike was going on.
And he hadn't left town yet by the time the nuclear option had been exercised.
In the Senate, yeah.
In the Senate.
Yeah.
And probably hadn't left town yet by the time the confirmation hearing this morning at 11 o'clock.
No, wait a minute. Wasn't this at Mar-a-Lago? This wasn't at the White House.
No, it was at Mar-a-Lago. But I'm saying he probably hadn't left town. He probably went over to Disney since he owns 2/3 of it. You know, he'd probably get in for free.
Yeah.
You know, with the fact that they were down there, all this stuff took place back and forth and back, and it's all right there, political theater right there in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And turn around and have him go back. Come on, face it. There's three superpowers in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of which has been lagging behind the other two for quite some time now.
True.
Well, that one of which is now coming up from the back of the pack and heading for the tape at the end of the course.
That's true.
And the other two have got to turn around and say, wow, all the hype was right. This guy's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you know what? America herself is not unhappy.
No.
Our allies are not unhappy.
You know, what do you say we take a quick break here and go into how this may help some of our other problems, especially in France? Okay.
Okay? Can the producer handle a 15-second break and edit it out?
I don't see why not, as long as I give him the time.
But the blacks, the whites, the purples. Mostly the blacks.
I'm only kidding you, Bubba. The black people belong in this country.
Chinese, Japanese, Filipino, my ass, you're a Jap. I'll tell you this. 3 years in the jungle looking for your uncle.
What am I bid for this broad before I introduce her?
Look at this, the old guy went, $4. I have based my whole humor on laughing at bigotry. I laugh at Will Chamberlain, ha 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 ha. But if you don't laugh back, it's not funny. Is that your wife, sir?
Jesus Christ.
I'll tell you this. What was it, a train?
And I love the Italian people. I'll never forget the word of Carmine Gangananzo, who said to me in Brooklyn on a Saturday night,
and I'm a Jew, and Sammy, you're black.
I'm sorry.
You know, I never tell the truth. I exaggerate. I make fun of blacks, whites, Jews, well, Jews.
You're Chinese, right? Chinese? This girl here? If you're not, get your eyes fixed. Look at a Chinese boy sitting there going, who's Chinese? Who's Chinese?
Phyllis Diller, ladies and gentlemen, who, when she was born, God ran out of clay and made her face trick-or-treat Charlie. Her former husband said on the wedding night, no!
Bob Newhart made the claim that he was my closest friend. I have never met Bob Newhart. I'll put it to you another way. Bob Newhart goes to many gay parties.
I like you very much, Tully. I like you more than I thought I would like you. Please sit down, because we could be married in an hour.
That's what's in your heart, right, Sam? Be proud. Brothers, we kiss, we hug. Any black on my lips? Don't write letters, folks. We cover them all.
And I'm back.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, just peachy now.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. All right, let's take a look at this.
At what? I don't see nothing.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Okay,
so I was going to say, all I see is a little pygmy owl hiding under a mushroom in a rainstorm saying, thank God I've got this umbrella.
Are you hallucinating again?
No, it's my desktop.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, so this strike in Syria. How do you think this may help Le Pen?
I think it will help, but I think it will help more about the incident this morning in Stockholm.
Stockholm, yes. 5 killed so far.
Is it up to 5? Last I heard it was 4.
It was 5.
And I knew that there were many that were critical, yes. So I didn't know how many.
So it just keeps going up? So
well, of course it's going to keep going up.
More of an impact in Sweden? Why Sweden? I mean, you know.
Well, Sweden has one of the biggest problems with refugees going. Just don't hear about
that's
it.
That's true. They filter it. No.
They rose color it and they, you know, watercolor it and they paint it. And,
yes, because Sweden is supposed to be media is more complicit, you know. The socialist paradise.
Paradise, yeah, exactly. You know, meantime, they've got a serious problem up there, every bit as much, if not more so, than France does. And I think Le Pen has every bit to capitalize on the fact that, you know, although this week's strike was against Syria, I think what they were doing is they were weeding out the old inventory of Tomahawk missiles to get the new ones ready and into place so that they can
What I meant was by all this is that it shows, I think, to Europe that Trump isn't just an empty suit. A lot of people just said, he's just a businessman. He doesn't know what he's doing with foreign policy or anything like this. He can't make these decisions. And
he doesn't have to.
And, well, he just made a decision like this, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think even though I disagree with it to some extent, it shows America's strength. It shows that we have a leader who is not reluctant to make the hard decisions when necessary.
Exactly.
So I think the fact that she's sort of like, you know, up there with Trump and she's, you know, he's been a supporter of hers and she's been a supporter of his. I'm thinking this could help her.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Now that Article 50 in England has been invoked.
Yes. And that is, yes. We'll see what happens there.
You know, and
Germany, forget it. Germany's gone.
No, the thing is, though, is because Merkel is a shoo-in, they say. But you know something? Never discuss, because everybody thought Hillary was a shoo-in, too.
But you know what? Did you know what they just did in Germany? They have, they made it illegal, I believe it was, to talk against Islam, I believe it was. Yeah. So, Nazism has returned to Germany in the form of Islam.
I think the Bundestag is going to change that around in a hurry.
I don't know about that.
Once they see the polls that say, "Oh, she's not a shoo-in." Oh, you mean Angela Merkel is our Hillary Clinton? I think the Bundestag will turn around and say, "Oh, this is not going to work out well for us."
She's ahead. She really is.
No, I know. Look. You know the old sign, the buck stops here?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so Donald has one on his desk that says the billion stops here. You know.
Whatever, yeah.
But you don't get that way. You know, you don't buy, you know, 127 acres of, you know, swampland in Missouri on a whim. Mm-hmm. You know, you buy it on the advice and consent of your board of directors, your operating officers and stuff who say we can do this here.
Right.
And you turn around and you're the one who signs the form. Yeah, okay, you're the one who signs the form.
Right.
You know, but you don't do that by yourself. It's the same thing as the President of the United States.
Right.
And I think some of the autonomy of the presidency of the United States in the past couple of decades, as opposed to listening to the people that they hire to tell them you know, is telling right now, because you know what? He can make the tough decision, but he's not going to make the tough decision from the hip. He's going to make the tough decision from the head.
That's right. That's right. I don't think he's doing it for political gain. I don't think politics figured into this at all, because he even said that how horrified he was to see those women and children dead like that.
Babies. He said that babies twice. He said those little babies.
Yes.
Innocent little babies. And I got news for you. I have seen war.
I know you have.
It ain't pretty. Anybody who said war is hell has never been to hell, because, boy, that's an easy street.
Yeah.
I've seen this stuff happen. Not so much with chemical weapons, but I've seen, you know, what, and I have also seen what happens when your enemy is an enemy who has a callous disregard for human life, rights, and dignity. You know, I've seen this. I've seen human shielding. Mm-hmm. I've seen this. You know, I have seen, you know, children pressed into battle. You know, I have seen children pressed into booby trap.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
Is it pretty? I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. If you can actually witness this stuff and then come back and say, oh, well, you know, it's not our fight, you're freaking kidding yourself. Mm-hmm. You are kidding yourself. Because if that's the case, it's not your fight, then you're not human. What are you, some sort of god? Mm-hmm. What are you, some sort of angel, a demon, something other than human? What are you, a sloth, a reptile, a snake? What are you? You're not a human. I've seen this stuff happen. And when you turn around and say to me, not you, personally.
Yeah, I know.
Collect you out there. Well, you know, it's not our fight. It's this, it's that, it's the other thing. You know, it's Sunni against Shia. It's Shia against Sufi. It's Sufi against, you know.
Granted, I did say, you know, it's Sunni against Shia. You know, but.
And it's been that way for 1,000 years and more,
yes.
You know.
No, I know, but I don't think he did it based on political reasons. I really don't. I think it was sort of like the humanity of it. You know, I really think that he basically, you know, this is just a taste of what we can do. Knock it off.
Mm-hmm. Listen, you big-eared bastard.
Yeah.
You know.
Knock it off.
Maybe, I'm sorry. He is a funny-looking son of a...
I know. He is. But maybe, I don't know. Let's hope that some good will come of this. I don't, you know, I don't know.
I hope that, look, if I could hope for one thing, I could hope that the people of the world with ill in mind turn around and say, you know something? He's going to come and get me.
Yes.
Now, whether it's the mullahs, the ayatollahs, the brullahs, the umbrellas, the whatever, whether it's Bashar, Assad, whether it's... you know, this caliphate, and they kept playing this news clip on the news this morning of him walking in with some mullah. And I was like, you monkey-looking bastard. You know, he was an ugly son.
Yeah. excuse me.
You know, but, you know, you guys, you want to have your, you know, and there he stands next to Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan saying, it's okay by me, man. You know, and of course, Bibi, what did Bibi say? Bravo.
Yeah. And then
that was his quote. Bravo.
DEFCON 2, you know, whatever it is over there. You know,
three. Yeah.
Three. I'm just saying.
No, four. They went from 3 to 4. Yeah.
3 to 4. Just, you know, it's just like, oh, crap. This is happening over there.
Know,
okay, guys.
I had an issue back and forth a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not that long ago. But this is April, right? So I don't know. Back in the fall, with Katie McFarlane, and she used to host the program before she got the nod to, you know, take her position at the National Security Council. And she used to host a show called DEF CON 3. Mm-hmm. And I went back and forth with her for some weeks saying, shouldn't we go to 4? Mm-hmm. You know, isn't it about time we kind of went to 4? You know, in light of all the attacks in Europe and all, you know, the things that pressure cooker bombs, and then the bombs down by the Marine Corps run down at Seaside Heights, and
right.
You know, shouldn't we just start thinking maybe okay, maybe not 4, but maybe 3 1/3 or you know 3 1/4, you know? Mm-hmm. And she said, no, definitely not, and. You know, that was before the election. So, right. You know, it wasn't even that she knew she was going to get the gig. You know, so I think that things that happen in places like Germany and Sweden and Norway and Luxembourg, and speaking of Luxembourg, that schmo up there in Luxembourg, we're going to make Ohio and Colorado secede from the United States. What a maroon.
Oh.
You it's know, like, oh, we're going to have Ohio exit.
I know.
Or something.
And my comment to him is, come to the United States and say that. Just come here. Come on over here. Sit down and start mouthing off. See how far that'll get you. You know?
You know, not for nothing, but look, you know what he really needs to do? You know what he really needs to do? He really needs to turn around and not so much get a different toupee than the one he's already got. You know, dress a little different, you mm-hmm. know, and get a house in Derry, New Hampshire.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't want him up here.
No, but I'm saying, or get a house in I don't know, Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, okay, or get fine. A house in Rolla, Missouri, or get okay. a house in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, get a house, move in.
Okay.
You know, get a faux job, you know, for some multinational corporation nearby, you know, I mean, in Rolla, Missouri, the University of Missouri mining, so he could act like he's a professor, even though he doesn't have to go to work, and live there for a year.
Okay.
And learn what it's like to be an American. I bet you he goes back to work that next Monday morning and says, that's it, you was done, forget it, we're disbanding. Don't want to deal with this no more. You know, each of you countries get your own coins back, your own dollars back, your lira or pounds or yen or whatever, not yen, guilders or whatever it is you use. You know what? The EU was stupid. You know, I've seen how the other half lives, and they're right. We're wrong. Forget about it.
Okay. But then they turn around and they say to Hungary and forget the other country that they said it to. You either start accepting these refugees or we're going to cut you off. And I'm like, let them cut you off. You'll be better off.
Let them cut you off.
You'll be better off.
Send refugees back to the camps.
Because yep. then you'll get aid from the United States most likely.
Yeah, so just yeah exactly. We'll help them out.
Yeah.
You know, we'll take it away from Syria. We'll take it away from the Levant. What do you call? We'll take it away from, you know, all these other countries that hate us anyhow, and we'll give it to the people who play by our rules.
That's right.
Hey, what better motivator, other than bombs, what better motivator? As a matter of fact, even more so than bombs, what better motivator is there than a cash greenback dollar?
You betcha. Yep.
You know, I mean, look at the
EU is on a it's on a downward slide. It is. I just think that
Ireland and Scotland are still.
Oh, they're still.
Weird.
Yeah, they're weird. I don't understand what is wrong with them. Well, Scotland and Ireland, don't forget, they've had this little quote unquote feud going on with England for how many centuries now? I know.
26, I think. It might be more, but I think 26 is a good round number.
It's just, I don't know.
You know, I mean, ever since the days of, you know, Uther and yep. Æthelstod or whatever, my old English history escapes me right now. Æthelstod, you know, mm-hmm. you know, all those things. And look at it this way. Those people were nothing but Vikings anyway. So, that's like, true. Come on, Norway, catch on. You know, you want us to send all these people back? No, well, then catch on.
Yeah.
You know, and as far as, you know, going to the fact that we were talking about earlier, and I know we've moved on, but I just want to touch this real quick, is the fact that, you know, the interplay between the Sufis, the Sunnis, the Shia, the Hema something, and the Homa something. There's, what, 7 or 8 different sects of Islam.
Yeah.
Not counting secular Islamists, or secular Muslims, rather. I shouldn't say Islamists. Mm. With that said, you know, this has been going on for so many years. I mean, the only people who really have been left out of this is the Sufis, you know, because they've been revered as saints by pretty much every other faction. The Sufis were an entirely different ballgame.
Aren't they sort of like the pagan type of...
No. They were kind of like the Gnostic, the esoteric, ethereal, the... Okay. You know, the closer to God than even the scriptures were, kind of a thing, you know.
Interesting.
Because the scriptures were written by men, you know, kind of a thing. So the Sufis have been left out of this, except where they've been in crossfire. But when we look at all of this stuff going on, and I remember back during the days of candidate Trump, you know, one of the things was that we would establish these safe zones. You know, so that these refugees wouldn't have to leave Syria, so they wouldn't have to leave the Levant. So that, you know, and it's a great idea. The problem is it viable?
If they're within range
of those, but if they're within range of those airfields where they have chemical weapons, you know, we take all those people that would end up in Turkey or end up in Hungary or end up in Yugoslavia, you know, end up in England, Germany, France, you know, Norway, and we put them all in. That means they're all right there, and all they got to do is drop a couple of dozen canisters of sarin, and they can wipe out everybody in the middle. Can we defend a safe zone? Well, this is why I think it was so important that the Sheikh King Abdullah of Jordan was right there with the president the other day. Because they've already taken in more than their own native population in refugees.
I didn't know that. I thought they didn't take any in. They did. Interesting.
Oh, Jordan. Oh, yes. They took in more than their own native population. Now, they keep them in safe zones. They don't just have them infiltrated all amongst the population.
That was my next question. Yeah.
And Egypt, who has, you know, I mean, there's only two Middle Eastern nations that recognize the state of Israel, Jordan and Egypt. Mm-hmm. And they don't want any more of this massacre than has already taken place. They sure as hell don't want it. But, you know, you got to remember, King Abdullah flew combat missions. This man is a warrior. This man is a pilot. This man is a, you know, he knows what cooks. This is not some Anwar Sadat, you know, not to denigrate Anwar Sadat, you know, or anything, but except for the fact that, you know, there, but for the grace of God, he kept Jimmy Carter from his Nobel Prize. You know, and Menachem Begin, you know, the Camp David Accord. You know, I look at it and say, if we have these safety zones, can we maintain them? Mm-hmm. Can we make them truly safety zones? My personal take on it is yes, we can. And not only that, but if they do decide to make these safety zones and they work,
right,
and they work well, and they convert the desert to flower, right, you know, and bring, you know, manna to the desert, you know, things like that, not only do I see that as a coup on the fact that we can keep any more from coming in, but I also see it as a way to send some back.
That would
because,
that would be a good idea.
The middle of the road. Yeah, the middle of the road people don't want to be in England. They don't want to be in Germany. They don't want to be in Holland. They want to be home.
But wait a minute. There's one point that you're not talking about here is that many of these quote unquote refugees aren't just from Syria. They're from Africa. They're from Somalia. They're from Ethiopia.
Eritrea.
They're hardcore Muslims. And what they're doing is basically invasion according to the Quran. I mean, and considering what they are doing in the countries of Europe. Yeah. The disgusting
Debbie
living.
Debbie threw that in my face. Yes. She threw that in my face this morning, and I said, you gotta understand something. I said, Bashar al-Assad is chemically hitting these people to incite terror within these people. These are not ISIS. These are not forces loyal to him.
These are the rebels. Oh, okay, yes.
And they're right in the middle. They're not ISIS, and they're not his. So he's
inside. Wait a minute. And how can you be in the middle in this? You either support the country and the leader in which you live, or you want to depose him. How can you be in the middle? You can't.
Well, they
want to
depose him. No, they want to depose him, but they don't want to be ISIS about it. These are the actual Syrian rebel militia. These are the actual people who want their country back, but don't want to be ISIS. Because not everybody who wants their country back is ISIS. Not everybody in Germany who wants their country back is a Nazi. You know, not everybody in England who wants their country back is a Tory.
No. Lou, I think you're getting way off base on this one. I really do.
No, I don't think so. And here's why.
Well, okay, so tell me why.
If he can send them scrambling, because I believe there is a middle, and I believe that is the Syrian rebel militia, I believe that if he can send them scrambling for foreign shores, any foreign shores, doesn't matter if it's Ceylon, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, Egypt, it doesn't matter if it's Morocco, it doesn't matter if it's America, you know, Denmark. For every 100 of them that go scrambling for foreign shores, they can put 3 people in the mix who can drive beer trucks into shopping malls in Stockholm.
True. But I think it's more than 3.
I think it's more than three out of 100.
I really do. No, I know you're just throwing it out there, but I really think it's more than 3. This is the way I view Syria. I view Syria the same way that I viewed Egypt.
But
huh? What?
Don't throw it at me arithmetically, but, you know, yeah, no, go ahead. Keep going.
You made me lose my train of thought here. No, if you take a look at what's happening in Syria, what happened in Libya? What happened in Egypt, okay? All right. Did we really adore
Morsi?
What?
Morsi?
No, Morsi was put in there. Who was there before him?
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Brain dead.
Me too. All right, so let's move away from Egypt and let's go to the other one. Go ahead.
Libya, okay? Muammar Gaddafi, okay? He had basically learned his lesson. And he was sitting there, and he had handed all his weapons over to us and said, yeah, you're right, you know, I mean, no more crap for me, even though he was responsible for, you know, blowing up the Pan Am 103 and, that was then, this is now, okay? I'm not saying he was a damn saint. But things were going pretty well in Libya. We were not having problems from them. The people had a pretty good life. Somewhere along the line, with Obama and Hillary Clinton pushing them, all of a sudden this Arab Spring came up. And this was ISIS. Both in Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
And, wait a minute, and in Libya. What do you think is happening in Syria? Assad is trying to hold on to his country. That's what I think. Because, you know, darn well.
Yeah, he's,
is it,
If Assad leaves, ISIS is going to take over. And they're going to wind up starting to
attack the Russians. Then what Assad should have done was, if he wanted to use chemical weapons, which I'm sorry you can't give me a justification for.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, period, end of story. But if he was going to do it, why didn't he drop it on ISIS?
But that's who... I thought that's who he did drop it on. Yes.
No, he dropped it on... That's the Shia-Sunni split. Okay? Now, ISIS is an entirely different ball game. That's a radical Islamic organization that has nothing to do with either side. Well, they happen to be Shia. But he was eliminating people that were against his regime, people he viewed as a threat.
Okay.
To his regime. If ISIS didn't, because he's not a fan of ISIS either.
Right.
He's no fan of ISIS. He's no, you know, cheerleader for ISIS.
Right, I know.
So if you're going to waste nuclear weapons, or not nuclear, weapons of mass destruction, why waste them on innocent women and children when you can send them to ISIS and wipe out,
where is ISIS?
You know, an entire column of their, you know, UN gathered arms. You know, but no, he brought them a whole lot closer to home, to a village way too close, nowhere near ISIS's front line.
Mm-hmm.
ISIS front line, hundreds and hundreds of kilometers away. If he had gone a couple of hundred extra kilometers and dropped them on, you know, a column of, you know, a village where all those sand-colored trucks are parked with the black flags flying off the top of them, we might have turned around and said, well, we decry this, you know, we declare this as terrible, and but, you know, would we have blown up his airfield? Probably not.
True. Okay, I see what you're saying on this, but I can't help but think that some of those people that did have that chemical weapons dropped on them, some of them were ISIS. And, as you know, ISIS,
without question,
they take women and children, put them up right at the battlefront.
Yep. And you know what? He could have dropped it in his own backyard and gotten people that were involved with ISIS.
Probably. I don't know.
You know,
those
people are like...
This is a wait and see. This really is. Because right now...
These people are like... ISIS is like a metastasizable cancer, a virulent cancer.
But more and more Muslims,
and you can cut out the tumor... You cut out the tumor, but yet you find you cut out the tumor in the left lymph nodes in the armpit, and you find out that all of a sudden the ones in the right lymph nodes in the armpit are now affected. You know, and this cut the head off the snake baloney that we've dealt with for at least the last 8 years.
Yeah, exactly. It hasn't worked because there's always somebody else to take the place.
Back in the days of the Gadsden flag, which, by the way, I have hanging right here.
Yay.
You know, back in the days where there were only 13 stars on Old Glory,
right?
One of the flags was a snake, you know, in sections, and each section had a state, NJPA, VT, you know, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Well, you know something? This is not a question of cut the head off the snake anymore. This is a question of cut the head off the snake, take the rest of it, cut it up in little teeny weeny chunks.
Yeah.
And throw it in a big old hole with about 100 gallons of gas and throw in a match. You can't just cut the. How many times in the last 10 years have we heard, well, we took out the number one and number two guy in ISIS?
That's right. I know.
I go back to the days when I was a rookie cop. And my training sergeant said, you see that guy standing there? I said, yes. He says, he's a drug dealer. I said, he is? Yes. He's kind of fits the profile. Yeah. He says, well, if you shoot him, there are 100 guys willing to take his place. What's that tell you? I said, it tells me I got to buy 2 boxes of ammunition.
You just got to keep taking them down. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And you can't do it here, there, the next place. And we're going to take out 2 guys with a $4 million smart bomb.
Right, I know.
If the drones see one of those columns of sand-colored trucks with the black flags on it, a B-52 goes over and blows it straight to Allah.
Yep, that's true.
And if they see another column of trucks the next day, a B-52 goes over. Dumbass bombs, regular 250, 500,000-pound bombs, drops them down there and blows them straight to Allah. They're going to run out of virgin so fast, their heads will spin inside their turbines. So their turbines are on too tight to begin with. Maybe they'll uncoil.
Exactly.
You know, and that's that. We got to, but let's we just can't
this
just
is a wait
let
and see,
it keep.
Though, Lou. This is a wait and see.
How wait and see do we got to be?
No, I mean, wait and see the reaction about regarding Trump's action on this. I mean,
well, I'll tell you, one of the people I listen to for stuff like this, as far as, you know, international reaction, you know, kind of a thing. One of the very few voices I actually listen to and give credence to, mm-hmm. said, "Bravo."
Who was that?
Bibi Netanyahu.
Okay. Good point.
If Bibi's happy,
you're happy.
I'm happy.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
And if we turn around and say, well, you know something, look, we just had another thing up in Portlandistan there in Maine, even though I don't live there anymore.
You're
I still
kidding.
Get their news.
Now what happened?
Well, another Somali refugee accused of, you know, sexually abusing a minor child. You know, and there's going to be demonstrations saying, oh, set him free. God, it's cultural. You don't understand.
It's a culture. Okay, again, you use the word culture. Their culture is not compatible with ours. That
nope.
means that they shouldn't be here. They have a different culture than we do. They are not going to give up
either
their culture.
And listen, I am a very culturally aware person as far as my culture is concerned.
Yeah, mine too. I mean, you know.
You know?
And I respect legitimate cultures. Islam is not legitimate in my eyes. All it is a bunch of, to me, I'll be honest, it's a bunch of misogynist rapists, pedophiles, who get together and decide that they're going to have a religion. I'm sorry. That's what it is. Come on. I mean, the women are treated worse.
You know
than
what
dogs.
I think it is? I think it's all has to do with that turkey noise they make.
Hey. Okay. You think so?
I'm serious.
It's
because
the women do it.
Look, whoever does it. My point is this. If you come to this country as my grandfather did, my nonna did, you know, mm-hmm. on both sides.
Right.
You know, and yours did, you know, and everything. And we come to this country and we learn, you know, to the American culture, and we do. Yeah, we can keep our
family traditions. Yeah,
our love of Gil around Christmas, you know, Eve,
yeah.
and you know, all that kind of stuff, and the Pascua, and all these other things that we have, which is next week, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can keep these traditions. I mean, you know, I've got my sissy coming tomorrow, the first time to the new home.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think? You think I've got a roast beef with roasted potatoes and turnip? No. I've got a big pot of gravy on the. You've got to smell this place in here.
Mm.
It's got a salsicha. It's got a meatballs. It's got, you name it. It's in here.
Brashol?
And I got a grape. Nope, no brashol.
Okay.
No brashol. Well, I was asked not to.
Oh, okay. No, just have it.
No, I was asking because I wanted. I said, "Oh, you know, brashol." No, brashol. Okay, fine. You know, I don't have to have it. I like it. You know, and neck bones? No, neck bones. Okay, fine. Chicken wings? No, chicken wings. Okay, fine. Just meatballs and sausage. You know, and I got the
you really are.
And I got the what do you call it? Pecorino Romano.
Okay. Yep.
Grated together.
Yep.
You know, with the Parmesan mixed together, and I hand grate this stuff.
Yep.
I don't put them on these Mitigan, throw it in a blender thing.
Nope. I don't either.
You know, and I put it all in the jar so it's ready there to sprinkle on. I got three pounds of. Well, I'm not going to call 3 pounds.
Okay,
we're
getting really far off here, Lou.
Yeah, but anyway, you know, I got the pepperoni 40 and stuff like ready to go, and the wine, you know, and so. But I'm saying, so I can maintain my cultural heritage. But if I walk out my front door,
it's not more your ethnic heritage.
If I roll out my front door,
it's more your ethnic heritage.
What's the first thing I see comes into my field of vision? Matter of fact, I don't even have to go out my front door to see it. It's right here in my field of vision, right here.
American flag.
Oh, glory, baby. Mm-hmm. Oh, glory, baby. Mm-hmm. Oh, glory. Flapping in the breeze out there.
No, I agree. But you see, this is not their intent. Their intent is not to come here and become part of this American dream. Their intent is to come here, take advantage of American largesse, generosity, our laws, and change our culture to theirs. You know that as well as I do. And I don't know why, though, we have to keep repeating this and repeating this and repeating this. Because this is the way it is, folks. And you have people out there, you have politicians, you have news people going, you know, why are they doing this? You know, oh, they're just maybe violent, or maybe these people are just mentally ill. No, it's Islam, folks.
Oh, they need jobs. They need jobs. Remember
they need
that?
Jobs. Oh, please give me a break.
Remember that one?
Yes, I remember that one. They need jobs. You know, the 9/11 hijackers all were well-to-do people, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Professionals.
Came yeah, engineers money. And stuff. Yeah, sure.
Yes, yes. So you take a look at that. And it's just inane. And you know, if we can try and have those safe zones in Syria. Maybe
and the people who make these excuses about lone wolf attackers. Well, you know what? That one the other day that they said was a lone wolf attacker, then they busted two other people. And then the ones that they say, well, it's homegrown, they never say the guy was an Islamist. They say, oh, he was a frustrated or disenfranchised Christian.
Christian. Oh, please. I'm sorry.
They never say, well, he was an Islamist.
Christianity you know, doesn't teach that. But Islam
well, no,
does.
But they,
Islam
yes.
does.
So while he has the beard and the hat and all that other stuff, he was a disenfranchised Christian. Or
see,
a frustrated
they're trying to turn it away from exactly what it is. They're trying to put the focus on something else. You know, it's either Christian. Oh well, he's disenfranchised Christian or whatever. And
well,
you know, so that made
I
him
can't
snap.
Think of the last
what?
Time.
Hello? No.
I can't think of the last time I looked at a mugshot of somebody who had committed some atrocity, no matter how major or minor. You know, and I'm sorry, there are no minor, but you know, just as a scale of reference. And said, well, they were a frustrated Hasid. You know, or they were a frustrated Reform Jew.
I know.
Or they were
I know.
Or they were a disenfranchised Buddhist monk.
I know.
You know, or a disenfranchised Wiccan, you know, turned out of their coven for their radical views. You know,
it's never that.
You know. Nobody was ever on a mugshot saying, well, you know what? They were formerly Baha'i.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, or this is a Jehovah's Witness who had one too many doors slammed in his face, so he went on a rampage.
True.
You know,
true.
No.
All right. I know. I think we should go on to something else.
What do you want to go on to?
Gorsuch has been confirmed.
Oh, he has indeed.
Isn't that wonderful? Yay, yay.
Well, first of all, I think it's wonderful.
Yep.
No two ways about it. I think it's wonderful. I am saddened. I am deeply troubled by the nuclear option.
Why?
And I'll tell you why. Because it's been threatened in the past. By both parties have threatened it in the past.
You yeah, know, but the Dems actually used it, 2013, remember?
But
paybacks are hell.
Bork and Thomas and all these other Supreme Court justices, this flies in the face of convention. Yet, if there was a legitimate concern, and there weren't any for Bork or Thomas, for that matter, other than
that's
one
right.
woman who ended up, you know, many
yeah,
years
where
later,
is she
recanting.
Nowadays? No, you know.
Nita Hill? I don't know. But
still screaming. Yeah.
Yeah, still screaming, you know. And the feminists still, you know, anyway,
propping her up.
My problem is this. The root of the issue had nothing to do with qualification.
Mm-hmm.
It had nothing to do with anything other than TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome.
Yes.
They are still so sore in a specific part of their anatomy over November 8th last year. And they have come right out. So many of them have said, you know, whether it was Lee, whether it was Waters, whether it was Schumer, whether it was you know, all these people have come out and said, we are not going to work with this man. We're not going to listen to this man. We're not going to deal with this man. We're going to obstruct. We're going to obstruct. They don't call it obstruct. When the Republicans do it, they call it obstructionism. When the Democrats do it these days, they call it resist.
Yeah, that's true. That
you know,
is
just
true.
Like they don't call themselves liberals anymore. They call themselves progressives.
Well, you know,
you know, they get into these semantic, you know, these little semantic handbags, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do other than the fact that they're still stinging by the fact that the pendulum has started to swing.
That's true. You know, the thing is, though, that TDS, it just permeates. It's still permeating, going through Hollywood. They haven't let it go. You have people that call into... You know, like Howie Carr that I listen, who I listen to every day.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
And you know, some of the stuff that comes out of these people's mouths is unbelievable. I mean, he puts them on, and then all they do is they just keep going, just spouting all the stuff, and they won't let him talk as long as they get it out there. and I'll tell you, I'm glad you brought this up because this has permeated to the point throughout. Our social culture, in which I have stopped following decorating blogs that I used to follow.
Decorating blogs?
Huh? You know, house
decorating?
Decorating blog? Oh, yeah.
Like HGTV stuff?
No. Well, yeah, no. I mean, it's like people who've started blogs on decorating your house and, you know, doing all this stuff. Oh, yeah, don't forget, I love doing all this stuff. So I follow people because there's people who have been, you know, redoing homes, old homes and stuff, and they document it. And actually, there was one person up here in New Hampshire. She had moved from Oregon to here. And so she started a blog up here. And I used to follow her until she sends out this missive a few days ago that I really have to talk about. May I?
Okay. Yeah, good.
Because, and I'm going to have to mention the blog, because you're talking about Trump derangement syndrome, and I stopped following her. I said, this is enough. I said, you know, lady, I love the way you decorate your house. I love what you're doing to your house. I love all the changes because it is an old New England colonial. And I just went crazy about it. And I was just went. So she hadn't blogged in a few months, and that's fine. You know, but I still follow. I mean, it's not like I expect something from them every day.
Yeah.
And so she starts going through this stuff. And then she's saying how they moved into the house and everything's wonderful and, oh, how nature is gorgeous and stuff like this. Then she says, I apologize once again for not posting sooner. I had plans to send Christmas tidings, but I would be remiss not to mention the impact that our presidential election had on me. I don't know how else to describe it, but to say that the wind was taken from my sails on election day. Everything I hold dear, everything I hope for in a kind, just, intelligent, and compassionate world retreated that day. Determined, I am calling our senators and representatives multiple times a day, sharing with them the weight of my worry over the risk to our democracy and to our nation's sense of humanity, grace, integrity, honor, and pure, simple kindness.
Bravo. Okay.
What do you mean, bravo?
Good, because if she's that kind of upset, we're doing something right.
True. Let me just say this, though. I'm going to mention the blog. I am. It's called The Country Farmhouse. Lady, you went out there on the internet. I'm just going to give you a little bit more publicity.
No, you can't hide. That's right. No. You can't hide. You put that stuff out there, you can't hide.
I'm like, wait a minute. Sense of humanity, grace, integrity, honor, and pure, simple kindness? When the hell did Hillary Clinton ever have any of that?
Ever.
Oh, my God.
Well, okay, so we're in that kind of mode right now. I'll go one with you.
Let me rant here. Intelligent and compassionate world? Really? Is that what we had the past 8 years? Hell no. Boy,
no,
we had
a president who had welcome tattooed on his back.
You're not kidding. Seriously,
unless that counts as intelligent and compassionate.
Now, what if
look, Amory,
seriously,
there's no question.
She has more problems than her fireplace not working in the house yet.
Oh, trust me, yeah. Trust me, she does. And I'll go one for one with you, and I will name names.
Go ahead.
As our listeners may be aware, and some of our newer ones may or may not be aware, but I am an amateur fashionista. It's what I do.
Okay? I think next time I'm going to take you shopping with me when I go out shopping for clothes.
You should, because you can't come out anything but for the better.
That's true.
No, I don't mean, that your taste is bad, but what I do.
Just remember, I'm in New Hampshire. We really don't get too dressed up here. And, it's not like we lived in New York or even when I lived down in the D.C. area. Just don't get dressed up.
It's different. Yes,
and
that's
right.
It's different.
That's the one thing I can't stand. But
what's that?
I can't get dressed up like I used to.
Sure you can. Sure you can. Well, I mean, unless all of a sudden
basket,
you start,
Okay, go ahead.
Instead of if you're going to the Market Basket and you want to have everybody see you walking up and down the aisles like all the rest of them going, then don't get dressed up. It's up to you.
Okay. All right, go ahead. So
I'm going to name the names too because I am, as I said, I'm only an amateur. Don't get me wrong. However, the women who I have dressed have thanked me for it manifold times.
Okay.
And one of the shows,
right?
One of the people who was a very influential person on me, Stacey London. Of the old show, What Not to Wear.
Yes, I'm familiar with it.
And she also had one like Love or Run or something like that, kind of a thing. It was similar, but it was without Clinton Kelly. Who now does food shows. Anyhow, Stacy, half Sicilian, half Jewish, absolutely a stunner from the top of her head to the floor, always was, and her senses were absolutely beyond cutting edge. She could take Michael Moore and turn him into an absolutely drop-dead gorgeous runway model in 5 easy steps. That's how good this woman is.
No, I know she's good, but I don't think she's that good. Go ahead.
I had to stop following her.
Why?
I couldn't handle it anymore.
Was she doing the same thing that this blogger did?
And I told her so in terms. I told her the same thing. Well, she was always a little bit, left, but but during the run up, the last few weeks of the run up to the election last fall, and then post election, and then we got to the point where we were pushing hard on inauguration, and I sent her an email, Stacey, I love you to death, dear, I do, you've never made a bad, with the exception of that one girl's shoes, fashion call in your life. But I can't put up with the rest of it. It's the same thing. How many times have we said this? Shut up and sing.
Exactly.
You have a television show. You have a blog. you got to let your hair down a little bit in your blog. I get it. I do. But
Yeah, but
my hair, okay, in Up, Down, or Indifferent on my blog is nothing different than you'd hear from me in any sense. And to her credit, she's true to herself, you know, and whatever. You know,
but I make
that's
decision.
Fine. But I don't have to. But I don't. That's right. It's her decision. It's her way to live her life, and it just doesn't jibe with mine. And I just can't handle the onslaught.
Well, you know,
anymore.
Thing is, Luke, both you and I, and other people that do political blogs and stuff like that, there's a purpose for this blog and this podcast, is because we just, this is the way we want to present our political point of views and our views on current events. But we both like a break, and we go to other forms of entertainment for that break.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm reading this stuff that this woman is doing to her home, and, you know, as I said before, maybe 2 months, 3 months, she doesn't blog, and then she'll come back, and that's fine. I'm always very happy to see the progress. Yeah. But then when she goes on and on about this stuff, as I just read, my God, just shut up. Seriously, you're that affected? Okay, I've lived through 8 years of Obama. I lived through 8 years of Clinton, and you're falling apart, basically. That's what you're doing. You're falling apart.
That's why it's a derangement.
This woman has so much money, too, because they're bringing all these artisan craftsmen. Oh.
Well, of course. Look, who are the biggest shakers and movers in the progressive world? Is the big shots, the mucky mucks, the limousine liberals.
And what a baby. I mean, I just read this. I said, you're kidding me, right? And I went, bang, unsubscribe. I had to.
Yes, I had to with Stacey, and it's the same thing. And it here's the deal, though. You know, we turn to different forms of entertainment, you know, whether it's HGTV, which... Tina Fey said that the college-educated white women now want to go back to doing. I don't know if you heard that quote. She was at some conference, and she said that Trump was pushed in by college-educated white women who now would rather look back and say, okay, it's over. I'm going back to watching HGTV.
And what is wrong with watching HGTV?
Nothing, but she was disparaging.
I know.
Now here's this woman lives in the Upper West Side.
Tina Fey, come here.
She doesn't.
Come here, bitch. Come down to my workshop. Let me introduce you to some of the tools that I use down there, including a miter saw, table saw, jigsaw. Could you do it? Probably not.
You want to talk? Yeah. You want to talk empowered feminist?
Exactly.
You know. These are the things. As I said, you know, Bush derangement syndrome.
Let me just say one more thing. I use these tools.
Of course you do.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Just to clear.
Well, so is my wife.
Exactly.
So is my wife. My wife's empowered.
We're not beating ourselves on the chest and say, I'm a woman, hear me roar.
No, you're busy.
We're just busy. And this is what we like to do.
You're busy. You don't have time for that. You know, look, when you get right down to it, we had Bush derangement syndrome, which, you know, especially in the second 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
Was absolutely unbelievable.
Well, that's because they won the House, don't forget.
Right. Yeah, but then now we have Trump derangement syndrome.
Yes.
Which has as much, if not 52% of it has to do with, you know, Donald Trump being our president.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 48% is lined up behind the fact the House, the Senate, all the various and sundry House and Senates and all the various and sundry states and is all the governor's mansions.
Mm-hmm.
Add up to the other 48%. Now, I have been, as have you at times, less than impressed with the Obama administration.
And that's saying in my
But I would never... I would never categorize anything we've said as Obama derangement syndrome.
No, we've basically stuck to the issues. We've pointed out how, you know, his policies were not good for the United States and our national security, economy, you know, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was trying to instill a culture that was different than ours.
But did we appear at rallies and fall to our knees and scream, no, no, no?
I have better things to do with my time, thank you.
And have so you too. Seen that video yet? Oh, yeah, my God. Oh, God.
Which, wait, this happened, did this happen recently?
It happened at Inauguration Day.
Oh, okay. No, that I saw, yes. I did see that. It's like, oh, come on, people.
We never had Obama derangement syndrome. We never had it.
No. No.
And it's I guess it's because, you know, the kindness and the gentleness and the caring and all this other stuff that other woman was decrying the loss of. Maybe it's that you didn't, maybe it's not that we lost it, it's maybe we regained it.
Yes. I agree with you 100% on that one.
And, you know, we start and we turn around.
She doesn't know how to distinguish. She doesn't.
No, because they never do. They never do. Everything is visceral. There is no intellectual. There is no mental. There is no cerebral. There is no, you know, it's all visceral.
That's right.
And it's if you tug at me, you're not tugging at my medulla. You're not tugging at my, you know, intellect. You're not tugging at my IQ. You're tugging at my heartstrings is where it begins, and out of my guts is where it ends. You know, it's not like we said, well, you know, you really should think about this. Well, it's not like that takes place in their head. It's like you filleted them like a trout and dumped their guts on a cutting room floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know.
And it's just...
I know.
And the part that still gets me, and I have to defer to just for the fact that this is the last time I heard it recently, the Hammer, Charles Krauthammer,
right,
said that the progressives, as self-identified progressives, uh-huh, are still only 23% of the population. So if everybody else in the entire country just uses their head for 5 minutes, we've got them beat just hands down. I mean, period.
But why have they had so much influence?
That's right, because it's all the Hollywood elite.
That's
it's
right.
All the, you know, the liberal elite. It's all the media people. It's all the mainstream media news.
And they have the microphone, so to speak, yeah.
And they have the bully pulpit by virtue of a microphone, and you know all these things, and they get out there, and of course, you know, everybody, of course, Chuck, you know, anytime there's a camera, Chuck's in front of it.
Oh, you're not
kidding. That's why, you know, those of us from New York Metro, we always called them for the last, I don't know how many years, Senator Soundbite, we always called them that. Since his first term in office, we always say, oh, Senator Soundbite's here, you know. You know,
had a camera he didn't like.
That's right. You know, and we sit there and we look at this and say, well, we have to cover him. You know, he is a sitting senator. You know, but the way they fawn,
I know,
on this guy, and the various and the fake news stories, and then they get all righteous indignation over the fact that the president turns to them and says, no, I'm not talking to you. You're fake news. Yes. Well, they invent this stuff. Not only do they invent this stuff, but sometimes people will, through some sort of sleight of hand, throw a story out there in their direction just to see if they pick it up wrong. And they do. They pick it up. They don't vet it. They don't, you know, they don't fact check. They don't nothing. They just run it. And
if it fits in with their narrative, they're going to run it. Even though it may be completely false, they'll worry about the consequences next time or later. Because if it has the required effect on the people, they're happy. Because you will get some people go, oh, my God, and they'll react to it.
Look at the Susan Rice thing.
Oh, God.
CBS, 14 minutes.
Yes.
CBS, 14 minutes in a week. 14 minutes. NBC?
Yeah.
MSNBC, CNBC, CNN, et cetera, 0 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Zero.
That's right.
0 minutes. Now, I don't know whether we should grant General Flynn immunity or not. I don't either,
because I have no clue. Seriously, I don't.
Because I don't believe the man is guilty of any of a crime. I really don't.
But you know how things work in the government. You know, I remember Scooter what the heck was his name? Scooter Libby.
Yep.
There you go. And that was totally bogus. Seriously, that was totally bogus.
Of course it was.
He should have never been convicted of that. Because that woman was not an undercover agent. She wasn't.
All that stuff between that, Speaker Gingrich, over and over and over again. Look, the fourth estate being the new fifth column is not new.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, I started saying that back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm sad that of all the phrases I've coined that are in common use in this day and age, that's one I wish somebody would have picked up on. And nobody ever did. And it's a shame. Maybe they're afraid of it.
What?
Maybe they're just a little bit hesitant that the fourth estate is the new fifth column.
I like that. I could have sworn
I've been saying it since the 80s.
I think somebody has picked up on it. We'll have to look that up.
Have they?
Do some research. I think so.
Oh, okay.
I really think so. I think it was... Was it? I can't remember who. I'll have to do some research.
Yeah, sure, because I've been saying it for 30 years. But, all these things, when you look at it and say, is there where are the days? No, I'm not absolving, people like Walter Cronkite and Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
Right.
You know, I'm not absolving them of a certain amount of bias.
Mm-hmm.
But at least they knew the difference.
Yeah, for the most part.
These people don't even know the difference anymore.
No, they don't.
It's either in narrative or it's out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to go back, Bernie Goldberg.
Yes.
You know, wrote that book years ago called Bias. And it was from his years at CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up out of work. Because he didn't fit the narrative.
That's right.
And he decided, well, if you're going to throw me out, I've got to make some bucks somehow. I'll write a book.
He wasn't a good soldier.
And people say, oh, well, you know, I put stuff up on various and sundry social media, and I happen to take a source from Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And I do everything I can to not take sources from Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Or Breitbart.
Okay.
You know,
that's your choice.
If I can vet them out further to make sure that I'm standing on solid ground.
Okay. Yes.
I do. Mm-hmm. You know, WorldNet Daily, you know, et cetera. I vet them out as best I can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't want anybody saying, oh, come on, Lou Fox. Oh, come on, Lou Breitbart.
I know.
You know, oh, fake news, fake news, fake news. No. Here's the link.
Mm-hmm.
Ding, 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 ding. And I back source it as best I can because sometimes it's just easier to grab the headline off Fox.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Or Breitbart or WorldNet or IJR or, you know, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I link it all the way back to CNN. Sometimes I link it all the way back to Sky News. Sometimes I link it all the way back to, you know, wherever.
Sometimes it's Reuters,
but sometimes it's just easier to throw it up there. And I hate when they call me on it because now I got to work harder because I've already done the fact check.
Mm-hmm.
But I go, okay, fine. I go through my history, control H, you know, and I go through my history and say, okay, here's where it came from. It came from Sky. It came from, you know, mm-hmm. Pravda or whatever. Mm-hmm. It came from Taz.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And I'll put the original link up and say, see, I did my fact check. Sorry, you lose. Check and mate.
Right.
Game, set, match. Mm-hmm. Wake up. You know, you're not talking to a neophyte in this business.
That's right.
I don't know if I mentioned it on air. Probably not because it was during the move.
What'd you do now?
No. Oh, okay. I had a moment. I had not an epiphany. That's the wrong word to use. Not an enlightenment. Not a...
an aha moment?
Anyhow, I was decrying.
An aha moment? I don't know. Okay.
An aha moment, yeah. A light bulb moment, whatever you want to call it. And at first I was not happy with that moment, but it grew on me.
Okay.
You know, one of those things you got smacked. You know, you're just like, oh, that hurt.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And then you realize, oh, well, wait, that wasn't so bad. I was decrying the fact of being crippled, mm-hmm. you know, which, I'm sorry, in our politically correct days, I'm differently abled. Mm-hmm. You know, sorry, I'm a freaking cripple, just the way it is. I was sitting there decrying the fact that I could not aid and abet the process of moving.
Right.
I mean, I could point, well, put that there and put that there, you know, kind mm-hmm. of a thing. But I couldn't actually participate a whole lot
right.
in the process of moving either out of Maine or in to Pennsylvania. You know,
right.
So, but on the way out of Maine, I was I had a dear friend, Ken, you know, who was one of our bestest buds up there in Maine, who does listen sometimes. Probably not this long, so it's too late to, but anyway, I said to him, I said, you know, I said, I just, sometimes it's difficult to be me, you know, having been a chief engineer and a beer and a doer and a goer and a getter and, you know, all these things. And here I sit in my goddamn chair, you know, and I said, I feel like I have no purpose. And he put his hand on my shoulder and he says, it's okay, Lou. You have a new title. I said, what's that? And he said, you're a political activist.
That's right.
And I was like, ow, that stung.
Well, sometimes somebody on the outside can see better than, you know, when you're on the inside.
Well, but that's it. But that, then the sting started to go away, and I realized I have a calling. Maybe it's not, you know, to the priesthood. You know, I mean, you know, maybe they're not going to be, oh, Pope Lou. You know, Pope Lou the First.
Oh, man. You know. Wait a minute. I can see you as Pope. You know that? I mean, shaking up the church? Oh, baby. That would be great. I can't vote for you, but...
the first shakeup would be I'd lose that hat.
exactly. The mitre?
I don't look good in hats anyway, you know, but...
It's the mitre, you know, right?
The kippa underneath the mitre, that's okay. I've worn those before,
yes,
and I don't look
yes.
so bad, you know. Covers the bald spot, you know.
Exactly.
You know, but for those who don't know, for those who don't know, kippa, yarmulke. Mm-hmm. You know, or you know, his Royal Highness, you know, Louis the First, you know, of any, you know, name a country. I don't know what was the West
Slovakia. If you were to become Pope. What would be your name as Pope?
Peter the Second.
Uh-oh.
For those listening who don't know what that means, that heralds the end of days.
Yeah. It does. Yeah, we're in trouble anyway. I think we're in trouble anyway. The church is in trouble.
I think it might be John Paul III.
That would be nice. I think that would suit.
Just to correct the other two guys' mistakes.
Well, I don't think they made too many mistakes.
Well, compared to this last two, no.
The one we have now? Oh, my God. I'm still waiting for God to call him home. I'm sorry. And that may sound absolutely, I don't know, crude, but forgive me. But
no,
I don't think he's,
know,
I
look,
really
if,
don't
if
think
if
he's
I
serving
been...
the church.
I think I would, I would like to think that I would call myself Boniface the what was the last one? Boniface the Third. I'd like to be Boniface the Fourth or whatever the numerical sequence is.
I forget what it is.
Because so pretty. I am just so pretty.
Boniface.
I make Muhammad Ali look like an ugly son of a gun. Howard, I'm telling you, Howard.
Oh, God.
Muhammad Ali got none on me. I got a Boniface.
Okay,
I got
wait a minute.
A Boniface.
Wait a minute. We have to go on here. We do have to go on. We do have to go on.
Well, it was a nice little diversion, though, wasn't it?
Oh,
well,
I
thought it was very pleasant.
I think it was good. But Can I change the subject?
Oh, yeah, sure, as long as we stick to me being Pope.
Sure, you can be Pope anytime you want, sweetie.
Okay,
seriously.
Then fine. All right.
We have lost another legend.
Oh, my God. I tried to stay away from that.
We have to. I'm sorry.
Only because the hole in my heart is so huge.
This is right up there with Sinatra, Martin, you know?
The hole in my heart is so huge. You know what I did when I found out?
Mm-hmm.
I broke out my DVDs of the Dean Martin roasts and just put them on continuous play.
Oh, my God. That man, honest to God, I mean, I think half the time when I watched him, I would be gasping for breath so much. I mean, the man was amazing. I mean, amazing. Don Rickles, we're talking
just
about.
Just in case. Yeah, I was going to say, just in case there's any doubt in anyone's mind.
90 years old.
You know,
he should have lived longer.
Should have. Allah has shalom. You know,
yes.
He should have been, you know, another 100 years. Well, no, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. 190? No. Oh, my God.
Man, I'll tell you.
Even I don't want that one.
I watched on YouTube.
That hockey puck?
Yeah, that hockey puck. When Sinatra was on Johnny Carson. And
he kissed him.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I remember Don Rickles just walks in on stage. Nobody expected him. He just
walked in the door.
It was hysterical where he kisses Sinatra. Just completely takes over the interview. And he goes, thing was, he goes to Sinatra, he goes to Frankie, he starts talking about, hey, Gabadoo Gala Gaba says hello, you know, and he tries to, as if he's speaking Italian, and Guido says, I'll meet you tonight. Sinatra.
I got to tell you, there were very few, you know, and you know, you and I go back far enough anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some of our listeners do too, but some of them may not. Go back to the days when the whole PC thing hadn't even been thought of yet. You know,
exactly.
I mean, when we look back, and I know we've talked about this before, when we look back on the what we used to call the Jewish Alps, you know, the Catskills, the Adirondacks, the Poconos.
The Borscht Belt.
And the comedians that used to be out there, Shecky Green and mm-hmm. and you know, Jan Murray.
That's it, Jan Murray. Yes.
You know, Buddy Hackett, Norm Crosby. You know, all
my
these
gosh,
people,
yeah.
And they were, you know,
Alan King.
These guys.
Do you remember
yes,
Alan King?
Yes, Alan King. Oh my God, I remember reading. I was a prisoner in a Chinese restaurant. years and years and years ago, with his head sticking out of a fortune cookie on the cover.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes.
The man, I had to read that book a page at a time, set it down, go and pee, and come back up and read another page because it was that funny.
It is.
You know, these guys were funny. Were they politically correct? Not by 100 miles.
God, no. And they were loved.
And to watch, and I know I brought this up before, these Dean Martin roasts, you get Freddie Prinze, you know, and Tony Orlando, and you know, they're roasting Muhammad Ali, and they say, well, you know, we're going to start a cleaning company called Spick and Span. You know,
you
can't, you know, and what the heck was her name was on the oh my God, her name, black woman. LaWanda Page.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Another great. Nipsey Russell could rhyme.
What
you
about,
give him 12 words.
Oh, what's her name? God. Short, fat, white woman.
Short, fat, white woman.
She was from that time.
Shelley Winters?
No. It's like on the tip of my tongue, and I can't bring it out. I can't remember. Oh, man.
Well, there was Tody Fields.
That's it! Tody Fields. Thank you.
Another Jewish one. Yes. Yes, indeed.
Tody Fields. Oh, my God. She's another one. She used to be on Carson or something. Oh, wow. Yeah.
And what was her name that played the woman on the park bench in Laugh-In, and she used to beat the guy with the purse.
Yes.
And she was always on there on those things. And
you know, there's
they pulled no punches. And you know something? If you were to play those for some of these kids today, they'd be aghast.
They'd be aghast. Then they would be looking for their safe space.
Yeah, give me my pacifier and my Play-Doh and my aquarium and my rain CD.
My banky,
you know, because, I mean, I'm sitting there, I watch this stuff, and I can't contain stuff. This is still after all these years, and I've watched these DVDs over and over. I think the DMCA things are going to kick in. you know... I still hysterical sometimes. It's late at night, and I can't, you know, because I have a sleep pattern issue anyway. Mm-hmm. I come out here, I throw one of those DVDs. I stop doing that, because if I put one of those DVDs, and the next thing I know, Debbie's awake coming, enough, because I'm in here laughing hysterically like some sort of a hyena.
I know.
Whether it was Jimmy Stewart that was being roasted, or whether it was Henry Fonda, or whether it was Muhammad Ali, or whether it was, you know, Dean himself. I have the one where he himself was roasted. Mm. And these people, and it's always the ones, I mean, my goodness, and sometimes it's Red Fox, and sometimes it's Don Rickles. Well, it's almost always Don Rickles, because, I mean, after all, I mean, who? You know, Red Buttons. Red Buttons,
oh,
his famous thing.
Yes.
Who never got a dinner, right? I mean, that was his thing. You know, these people never got a dinner. And yet tonight, here we are, this guy gets a dinner. You know, I mean, Ronald Reagan and Barry Goldwater and these people were there.
Yep.
Hubert Humphrey was there. You know, I mean, it's like,
and now we have a
when
bunch of crybabies.
When you look back at this and say, this can't happen, this was in prime time television on Channel 2.
Yes.
Well, I don't know what channel CBS was in your neighborhood. In our neighborhood, it was Channel 2.
Yes.
Prime time television.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And the entire country, coast to coast, was watching this on a Saturday night, and that's how it was.
And nowadays,
there's not one bit of... I've got the 6 DVD set, and there ain't 30 seconds of it which you can put on anywhere in the country today without protests.
I know. Oh, you can't. Oh, yeah.
And Don Rickles made the rest of them look good.
That's true.
Because then you got to Milton Berle, then you got to Jack Benny, then you got Shecky Green, then you got to Buddy Hackett, then you got to Jan Mary, then you got to, you know, Norm Crosby.
Hey, wait a minute.
You know, all these people.
We can't forget Pat Cooper.
Don't forget Pasquale Caputo.
Pasquale Caputo. That's right.
But he was he was one of the only ones that wasn't Jewish.
That's right. He was the only guinea there, for God's sake. Excuse me. But
Pat Cooper and Lou Bacala Carey were the only two Paisans that worked in the Borscht Belt.
Wow.
They were the only two Paisans that worked the Borscht Belt back in the heyday, back in the days of Dirty Dancing, you know, kind mm-hmm. of a thing. They were the mm-hmm. only two Paisans that worked the Borscht Belt.
Amazing.
And again, Don Rickles made all their jobs easier.
That's true. Oh, yes.
Because he was the maestro. He wasn't a master. He was a maestro.
Yes.
Oh. He was the maestro. He made it everybody else's job easy.
Oh, my God. And we lose this fantastic guy. Oh. You know, people.
You know who I dread now, because you know they come in threes. You know who I dread now?
Who?
And I don't want to put the Gordon on it at all, but, you know, Mel Brooks.
Oh. Oh, don't say that.
Because, you know, he was another one, made everybody else's job easy. And whether it was Harvey Korman, you know, whether it was, what the hell's her name? Madeline Kahn.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whether it was Gene Wilder, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, he made their jobs easy, you know. And
he did.
Not to say they weren't working for their living, you know, no two ways about it. Not to say they weren't working for a living.
Not to say they
hysterical as all get out on their own right. But boy, he made, you know, Don Rickles and Mel Brooks. I mean, these people made the job easy.
Yeah.
For the rest. Henny Youngman. Yes. Made the job easy. Jack Benny made the job easy. You know, mm-hmm. As much as I really didn't care for the man, Milton Berle made the life easy for the people behind him. And when you really want to talk about who made life easy for everybody,
mm-hmm.
was Ed Sullivan, the late, great Ed Sullivan.
Oh, sure.
Except for Jackie Mason.
Oh, he's still alive.
They had that. Well, yeah, but they had a falling out.
Oh, did they?
All those years ago. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Google Ed Sullivan, Jackie Mason. You'll see it. They had a problem because what happened was Jackie Mason was on. And look, if it wasn't for Ed Sullivan, there'd be no Joan Rivers.
That's true.
You know, and for that matter, Johnny Carson. He was another one that made life easier for the rest of them.
Yeah.
But at one point, Jackie Mason turned to Ed and either said something or whatever, and Ed mistook it as a...
an insult?
More like a gesture that wasn't so much complimentary.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look it up.
But it was misconstrued, and it lasted for mm-hmm. several years mm-hmm. until they finally had a meeting of the minds and said, oh, my God, you know, you didn't understand what I said. You didn't understand what I did. It had nothing to do. You know, it was just an mm-hmm. accidental thing. And other people interceded, and that was put to bed. But... oh, my God. I think about people, you know, way back in the day, Merv Griffin and you know, with Arthur Treacher.
I know. It's the people that are taking their place now. People like...
what do we have now? We have Tina Fey. We have what's her name?
Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer.
Schumer's
niece
or cousin?
I don't know. Whatever.
She's Chuck,
you know,
she's related to Chuck Schumer. She's either niece or cousin.
Yeah, but I'm
saying, oh my God. And that other she's one, so ridiculous.
That other one that had Samantha relations Bain. With her 8-year-old sister or something.
Lena Dunham or something.
Lena Dunham.
I know.
You know, what the hell? What's going on?
I don't know. Society has gone downhill in more ways than one. What it is that the... people, those that would be at the bottom of the ladder have been pushed to the top. And those with talent has just been pushed aside.
Let me tell you.
That's what this is about.
I don't know how many live performances you ever saw by some of the great comics we've already named.
I have never been to one.
Sorry. Well, I have been privileged in my life to have seen several. And you know, Buddy Hackett was a kind of a almost Jerry Lewis-esque kind of a
mm-hmm.
thing.
Oh, he could get bawdy. He really could, though.
If you saw him live, you would never know this was the same man. Red Fox, if you had seen him live, you would never know this was the same man on Sanford and Son. You know, a lot of these guys, they were rude, they're bawdy, they were...
Oh, gosh,
you know,
yeah.
Absolutely, you know. But that was it. It was kept to a nightclub, a smoke-filled
exactly.
room.
Exactly, yes.
So nowadays, they bring it all out on stage, and if you disagree with them, then you're a racist, you're a homophobe, you're a this-phobe, a that-phobe, a feminophobe, or... you know, all this other stuff, because it's like this is what's being force-fed down the gullet. Well, you know what?
we're not having it anymore.
Exactly.
We're going to regurgitate all that stuff you've been shoving down our throats for the last how many years. And we're going to take our innuendo comedy and we're going to put it back into the smoke-filled rooms of a nightclub. And we're going to take Americans, you know, prime time fare, and we're going to clean it up so the kids can stay up until 8 o'clock and watch it. Mm-hmm. Instead of up until 11 o'clock watching stuff we really don't want them to see.
That's true. That's true.
And my only big serious hope for the next 6 to 8 years, you know, or at least 4 and hopefully 8, mm-hmm. is that when the pendulum swings back, it stops somewhere in the middle.
That would be nice.
It just kind of hangs there.
Yeah.
Give us a generation with that pendulum hanging in the middle. And after that, you'll get a glitch here and a glitch there. You know, get sure. a nudge this way. You'll get a nudge that way. But you're not going to see these wide, swinging, radical, oh my God. Especially as it's been, the pendulum has been swung by a minority of the people.
That's right. That's right.
With all their power, they've been pushing that pendulum so far off to the left that a correction has to take place.
Exactly. Exactly. And we've just lost a champion. So rest in peace, Don Rickles. I know darn well you're up there right now with Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra telling them jokes, and they're welcoming you, and your family's welcoming you, and, you know.
Yeah, he probably showed up at the pearly gates and kissed Frank right on the lips again.
Wait a minute, kiss St. Peter right on the lips.
He said, what are you applauding for? What are you, a seal?
What is this? Yeah, exactly. What the heck? You hockey puck. Just let
this
me
lady in the front row. What are you, a seal?
What are you doing asking me for ID? Get out of my way.
Remember those commercials? I don't remember what it was for. It was one of the casinos in Atlantic City when Atlantic City was young, and I don't remember who the guy was in charge of the casino down there or something, but Frank was on the commercials. And the punchline of it always was, give me some towels. Give me some towels. He turns to the guy who's the president of the casino and says, hey, go get me some towels.
Okay, folks.
I love that.
Hey, Lou, I think we're going to have to wrap this up.
Yeah, we're close enough. Yeah, why not?
Yes, we are close enough. And let me just say, you know, we have been gone for a while, but unfortunately couldn't have been helped. But we are now back. And
yes. And we keep saying that over and over, but, you know, we always do come back. We're like a bad penny.
Bad penny. Yeah. But can't keep a stable.
Or actually, I guess like a good one, you know.
A good penny. Well, it depends. Depends. If you don't like what we're saying, then we're a bad penny. If you enjoy the podcast, then it's like, hey, they're back again. Oh, good.
No, you know what? If you enjoy what we're saying, then we're not a bad penny. We're a good mercury silver dime.
You betcha. So listen, folks, thank you so much for listening. We will be back again next week.
Don't forget. Like us. Yep. Like us. Yes. We're iTunes, Blueberry, of course, politicalqrm.com. I always post links on social media.
Yeah, and I'm sorry.
Follow us, like us, share us, subscribe.
In a long time. Yeah.
And for crying out loud, say something. I'm tired of talking to her and she's tired of talking to me. Let us talk to you.
Yes. Okay. I'll buy that. Yes. Yes. But listen, everybody, stay safe. We look forward to your comments. And we, Lou and I, both look forward to doing this again next time.
Next time.
And tell your friends. And if you tell your liberal friends, they're definitely going to have some comments about it. And next time we will be dealing with a lot more that will be going on because it's never going to end. And there's always going to be...
The show goes on.
The show goes on and on. It's just the next chapter. So, Lou, do you have anything else to say?
The only thing I have to say is please, please, please keep in your prayers and your thoughts our military, our first responders. Please keep in your thoughts and prayers our leadership in this country. And may God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.